Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, the Packers head into their bye week at 2-1 after a big 34-27 victory over the Detroit Lions. And I guess the storyline, the initial storyline of this game is the reports of the demise of the Packers offense were greatly exaggerated.
Yes, they were, Mike. And I think we talked about this last week, not to do like the I told you so,
right,
you know, segment or whatever, but Aaron Rodgers really does, when he has a down performance, he responds. And, you know, everybody had talked about, oh, it's been 14 games since he had 100 passer rating, 129.3. The offense isn't getting enough done in the red zone, 4 touchdowns. They're not putting up enough points, 31 in the first half. I know people automatically are going to say, well, the second half, they didn't get as many opportunities. They got off to a great start, and I think when you look at the big play production, the ability to get Eddie Lacy going, if you had any questions about this Packers offense and if it could still put up those monster numbers, I think that was answered in the first half. That ability is still there.
Yeah, I think the thing that jumps out when you just glance at the stat sheet from this game, Eddie Lacy over 100 yards rushing, Jordy Nelson gets 100 yards receiving, and Aaron Rodgers, as you said, goes over 100 with the passer rating. What I really like to see, two things I really liked, seeing the run-pass balance that we talked about, that Mike McCarthy talked about, he was going to start to emphasize more, getting Eddie Lacy going. We saw some stretches where Lacy carried the ball 3-4 times in a row to really try to wear down the defense, but then also getting Jordy Nelson going. And what I mean by that is we saw the previous week in Minnesota, Nelson had a couple of big plays, racked up some yards, but they were almost more of, you know, happenstance broken type of plays.
Right.
And his two biggest plays in this game against the Lions, the deep one down the seam was a really good route, really good timing pattern there between him and Rodgers, and then the other one over the top to the front pylon for the touchdown. Another great timing pattern with a great catch and footwork by Jordy Nelson. Those kind of plays look like the Jordy Nelson of old.
Yeah, Mike. And as the great philosopher Kenny Powers once said, making the necessary adjustments, exactly what the Packers offense did in this game. I thought getting Jordy Nelson more inside the line, not necessarily just in the slot, but actually just lining him up more almost as sort of a hybrid tight end in some packages, really was beneficial for this offense. Mike McCarthy said they hadn't attacked the field enough in the first 2 weeks, attacked the middle of the field enough in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Right.
They did that with Jordy Nelson in this game, and I thought that had a lot to do not only with their production in the first half, but just really that chemistry and rhythm with Aaron Rodgers. Those two guys are the focal point of this offense, no matter which way you shake it out. And being able to not only get the big plays going, like the 49-yard completion, but also just some of the underneath stuff, I thought was really critical for the tempo and rhythm of this offense.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers talked about it after the game, that being able to hit on some of those quick timing patterns, the three-step drops, and we saw two really important ones on the very first drive, the opening third down, Jared Cook on a slant, boom, three-step
right.
drop, 15 yards, first down, move the chains, you know, here they go. And then down in the red zone, it's third down again. I believe it was 3rd and 7 from the 14-yard line, and the Lions bring the blitz to try to get the sack, force the field goal, and Rodgers' three-step drop, boom, the ball's out to Devontae Adams on a slant. He breaks the tackle and gets the touchdown. When those three-step drops, those timing patterns are working and the pass catchers are beating the jam, getting open right at the line of scrimmage, this offense is awfully tough to stop.
Absolutely, and it goes back to that ultimate litmus test of that first down, getting that first down. As you said, the play, I thought, with Cook was really good for the rhythm of this offense, getting that momentum established. And as soon as they get into that hurry-up offense and they kind of have that no-huddle, a little bit of that pep in the step, as TJ Lang called it, you really start to feel things coming together for them. Randall Cobb, 33-yard completion downfield, being able to attack the defense in multiple ways. And I thought, as good as it was to get those big plays early on, being able to establish Eddie Lacy throughout the course of the game, 8-2-1 now in games in which they have Lacy go over 100 yards rushing, was really critical. I was really impressed by how this entire offense stepped up. And even without Jared Cook, you know, in the latter part of the game, still, you know, Richard Rodgers getting involved, just getting really all the components and central players in this offense contributing, I thought was really critical for how they played.
Yeah, a lot of changes with the personnel packages we saw throughout the game. We saw Trevor Davis, the rookie wide receiver, draw a 66-yard pass interference penalty that set up an easy touchdown. And I believe I saw a statistic that that was maybe the longest pass interference penalty in at least the last 15 years in the NFL. Rodgers kind of scrambled out of trouble and then just let it fly. And that ball was awfully deep downfield. And you get the penalty, the ball's on the 2-yard line. The next thing you know, you're in the end zone. So while plenty more to talk about on this Week 3 victory for the Packers over the Lions, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, shifting gears to the defensive side of the ball in this Week 3 victory over Detroit. I know there are some issues with the passing yards that were given up when the Lions were in catch-up mode and that sort of thing. And the Packers gave up too many big plays. The way you protect a lead is to make them take, you know, small chunks of yardage,
right,
and use up the clock as they move down the field. And a couple of times there, the Packers gave up plays that they shouldn't have. But I want to talk about one defender in particular, and I know we've talked all through the regular season so far about Mike Daniels, but if you were to have to choose right now between the Packers' defensive MVP, choosing between Mike Daniels and Nick Perry might be a pretty tough call, because Nick Perry was really a force in Sunday's game.
He was, and this is something that you kind of feel happy for Nick Perry. I mean, he's a guy who, during his first 4 NFL seasons, he never made excuses. He understood he was injured, and last year played through a lot of pain at times with that shoulder. The year before that, obviously, had some shoulder issues. Never mentioned it, never tried to make an excuse for his performance with it, but yet stayed on the field. Well, he healed up near the end of last season, had the whole offseason program to get through without any issues. First time participating in training camp, no problem, off, you know, OTAs, minicamp. Well, now you're starting to see the benefit of that and really being able to get off to the start. He's had some fast starts in his career, but how he's affecting the game in so many different ways, whether it's the run or the pass, 13 tackles, a team-high 3.5 sacks, I would make an argument that that was his best pro game against the Lions. And when you look at it, he's had 2 sacks in a game before, but across the board playing the way he did, I don't know if it gets any better than that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it was his best pro game. We saw clearly the glimpses of this in the playoffs
last year,
as you mentioned, when he was really starting to get healthy and what he was starting to put together. But when you talk about an all-around performance, he bats down a pass at the line of scrimmage. He's getting in the backfield to make tackles for loss, even missed 1 or 2 tackles for loss against the run that he's probably kicking himself for as he watches the film. But he's been a big part of everything this defense is doing, pressuring the quarterback, stopping the run. That number one run defense in the league coming into the game only allowed 50 yards on the ground. I'm actually surprised in some senses that the Lions ended up with as many rushing attempts as they did.
Yeah.
Because they got a couple of 8 and 9 yard runs after the Packers built a big lead, but early in the game, the running game for the Lions was absolutely futile.
Yeah, it was minus 11 yards, I think, Theo Riddick had at halftime on 6 carries. Obviously, Dwayne Washington came in and was able to get some momentum going a little bit for them, but still at the same time, Packers' longest carry of the day against them was 9 yards. And that goes a lot of credit to Perry. I think they have really extremely active inside linebackers that are filling their gaps. And give credit to Mike Daniels in a really young defensive line. I mean, think about this, Mike. Okay, so you don't have Clay Matthews. LaTroy Guyon's out with a knee injury. Dayton Jones doesn't play with a knee injury. Morgan Burnett, who's arguably their best run-defending defensive back, not out there.
Right.
And yet the Packers still really making them one-dimensional. It's incredible what they've been able to accomplish despite the moving pieces so far this season. And I just think it was a true testament to them being able to get through 3 games now and play the way they have. I think it was Elias that said it was 151 rushing yards allowed is the fewest that they've had since 1933.
Wow.
So just incredible the start they're off to.
Yeah. And it's interesting that I think my favorite run defense play from the Lions game is one that most people are going to forget, because the Lions, On the very next play, they went for it on fourth and goal and scored a touchdown. But you and I were talking about it in the press box when it happened, third and goal from the one-yard line, and they try to power the ball up the middle like most teams would try to do, and the Packers just completely destroyed their offensive line on that play, and the running back had no chance to get even to the line of scrimmage, let alone get anywhere near the goal line. And that's the kind of run defense they've been playing through three games. If you can keep that up, these issues with the secondary, the injuries, Sam Shields and Morgan Burnett being out, and some of the big plays that are being given up, I think those things are going to clean themselves up if you keep doing what you're doing in the defensive front, because that's where it starts.
And as Mike Daniels said afterwards in the locker room, this is a mentality, really an attitude that's been building now for over 2 years. He credited it to when Johnny Jolly came back in 2013, really bringing a toughness and an edge to that defensive line. When you look at that play in particular, it wasn't just Mike Daniels getting penetration, although he is the one, I believe, that came up with the tackle.
Right.
You're seeing guys like, you know, Dean Lowry, rookie fourth-round pick, being able to get a tackle for a loss in the game. Kenny Clark moving people. Christian Ringo, you know, who's on the practice squad last year, getting penetration and push. That's the key. They're young, they're aggressive, and right now they're getting a lot of production in that phase of the game.
Yeah, and I would bet Mike Daniels is probably going to blow up a snapshot of Blake Martinez with the blood running down his nose and put that up in his locker as the new symbol of the Packers defense and the way they're playing right now. So we'll keep an eye out for that in number 76's locker as the season goes along. But we've got lots more to talk about from this 34-27 victory for the Packers over the Lions. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, let's touch on a few things regarding special teams from the Week 3 victory over Detroit. I think the thing that jumps out the most was the kickoff return that wasn't, you might say, a very smart heads-up play by Ty Montgomery there in the first half on Detroit's kickoff. The ball landed in the end zone, but then came back out and was in the field of play, and he sort of circled around the pylon, kept his feet out of bounds, and then reached in and touched the ball, which meant it was a kickoff out of bounds because he first touched the ball while he was out of bounds, and the Packers got the ball at the 40-yard. That's as good as a 40-yard kickoff return.
Absolutely, and we talked about field position and the importance of it. Well, that's one way to certainly change that field position battle. We've seen this happen the last few years. I think Randall Cobb did one of those a few years back. I think Micah Hyde might have also.
I remember the Cobb one. I believe it was in 2012, late in the season.
Yeah.
Randall did that, and he did it actually standing up. He just walked over in front of the pylon, put 1 foot out of bounds, had 1 foot in bounds, and then picked up the ball.
Yeah.
And the flag flew, and the Packers got the ball at the 40.
But really good presence of mind from Montgomery on this one, because he did have the kickoff coverage team from Detroit kind of bearing down on him a little bit. I mean, it was, you know, there wasn't a second to be wasted, but yet had the presence of mind to be able to make that decision. Because honestly, if you do pick that up and you don't step out of bounds, well, suddenly you're buried within your own 5 yard line.
Yeah.
So just a really good decision by him. And this is a guy that you've seen over the last few weeks make a pretty big impact on special teams with the block punt the week before. And some of the ways that he's kind of affecting football games right now has really impressed me. But yeah, I mean, Mike, we talked about this. I mean, the Packers really wanted to change the field position. That was one of the emphases going into this week. Average start on this game was 34-yard line. Detroit was 22. I mean, that was one of the keys of this game, and certainly Montgomery's play helped contribute to that.
Yeah, and the other big shift in field position was the defense getting a turnover. Demarius Randall rips the ball away from Eric Ebron and runs it 44 yards the other way, gives the offense a short field. I believe it was 25 yards, which they converted into a touchdown.
And that was an ill Demarius Randall, too. I mean, keep that in mind. I don't think a lot of people understood that when we were watching this game. But, I mean, Demarius Randall was dealing with some stuff, had to go to the locker room for a little bit, presumably, I'm guessing, to maybe get some fluids, and came back out. I thought he really really gutted through this one.
Yeah, and on another day, if Sam Shields is playing, if Morgan Burnett is playing, Demarius Randall might not have had to play, and you give him credit for gutting it out. He didn't have his best game by any means, but he did make the biggest defensive play of the game with that interception and long return. But another thing to talk about with special teams, too, late in the game, Packers protecting a two-touchdown lead, and Jake Shum goes back to punt. And a very high snap from Brett Goode, and Shum, who is not the tallest punter in the world, leaps up in the air and hauls down that snap and gets the kick away and avoided disaster. Definitely. On really what I would say, I've been here throughout Brett Goode's career, and his 9 seasons, that's the first time I can remember saying that was a truly bad snap from number 61. It's extremely rare, and Shum made sure it didn't cost him.
Yeah, and I thought that was the biggest thing is, you know, again, you're not always going to bat 1,000, but you're able to corral it. And Shum, as you said, isn't the tallest guy. He's listed at 5'10". I'd say he's probably a good quarter taller than I am. And for him to get the air that he got on that, and also the presence of mind to bring it down, not rush the punt, still be able to get off a 43-yarder. It was returned, I think, for about 15 yards, but still, that was a huge point in that game. Detroit gets the short field there and the opportunity to potentially drive it down, that could have really been a game changer. But Shum gave the defense, who was performing pretty well at that point in the game in terms of the pressure they were generating, an opportunity to pin their ears back once more. I thought that was it certainly isn't going to be something that rises to many headlines, but definitely is going to go down to one of the reasons why they won this football game.
Yeah, that was a big play at crunch time, and it was one teammate sort of picking up another and not letting one mistake become a much larger one. So before we go to a break, Wes, we'll take care of a little sponsor business here. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, and Wes, final segment. As much as this will be a much more fun week for Packers fans, going through a bye week coming off of victory as opposed to the other way around, talking to the players in the locker room after the game yesterday, particularly the players on offense, they talked about getting back to having fun out there on the field. You saw it with some of the celebrations after the big plays and after the touchdowns, and they feel like this offense is coming back, and it's a fun offense to be in.
No question, Mike. And actually, one of the things that really stuck out to me throughout the course of that game, and then definitely after we talked to some of the players in the locker room, was something that Jordy Nelson actually said to me this past week when I was working on a story for our game day program for one of the upcoming home games. And he said, you know, he was kind of sulking on that Monday after the Vikings game, and strength and conditioning coach Mark Lavotte came up to him and kind of asked him, you know, what's going on? You know, he's like, have some fun, enjoy this. You're playing football again. And that really hit home for Nelson. He said it did, in terms of, you know, realizing the opportunity he has again, how long he's been playing this game, what was taken from him last year, and the chance to go back out there. And, you know, 6 catches, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. That second one, Mike, and you had a good vantage point of it, a lot of emotion there for Jordy Nelson. And the way he typically handles that, you know, he might go do a Lambeau leap, but otherwise there isn't a whole lot of emotion in those touchdowns. Usually hands the football off, goes back to the huddle, celebrates a little bit, threw the football in the air, kind of hulked up a little bit,
yeah.
Ran back and celebrated with Randall Cobb. It just, you could tell that touchdown and the way the offense was playing at that point in the game really meant a lot to him.
Yeah, and I think we'll see, as the season goes on, I think we'll see Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb get back to maybe their traditional handshake celebrations, you know, sort of the mock formal handshake type thing that they do, keeping things, you know, subdued when they're in the end zone. But for everything, particularly with Nelson, for all the criticism of the offense through the first couple of weeks, and then Jordy going through all of the rehab last year and getting back on the field, and knowing, I think, you know, as much as Nelson wasn't necessarily going to say so publicly, knowing that the first 2 weeks of the season he still didn't feel like himself out there. It's taking some time to come back, and as we talked about earlier in the show, this was the game where he looked the most like his old self that we've seen.
He really did, and you know, and Aaron Rodgers said it last week. We discussed it, you know, saying that they just kind of keep to themselves. They're not listening to the outside voices. That's similar to what Nelson said after the game. He's like, listen, the way that we're structured around here, we all know what we can do. Everybody in this locker room knows what this offense is capable of. There's times where they're going to make it look really easy. There's times when it's going to look really hard. That's the NFL. You're not playing some simulated defense. Those guys are trying to stop you, and it's about defeating them and having success and being able to sustain that success. You're going to have ruts, but you have to work through it. And I thought it was really telling, too. T.J. Lang told a story about after one of those four touchdown passes, Aaron Rodgers came up to him, gave him a little bit of headbutt, and said, I'm back. And, I mean, that's kind of what it's about a little bit, just being able to really get that. There's always that confidence is always there, but being able to really be able to develop that rhythm, that tempo, that momentum, and just feeling like yourself again. And as I mentioned at the beginning, really just having fun with what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's fun to watch, too. You and I have been around it long enough. The ultra-competitiveness of this league on both sides, both teams. One of my favorite lines that I heard him say many times over his years here, receiver James Jones, anytime he was asked about something that was going wrong or why the offense couldn't do this or that, he'd say, hey, the other guys get paid, too, yeah, you know? Right. And that's what this league is all about. These teams really go at it, and nothing is ever going to go smoothly, you know, for 4 quarters or for 4 months, for 16 weeks. It's about working through the tough times and getting back to where you've got the edge. And the Packers showed their edge in the Lions game yesterday with that 31-3 second quarter lead.
No question. There's always going to be a winner and a loser. Jim Caldwell was answering the questions about why your defense started the way they did when the Packers were able to get those 31 points in the first half. So that's just the way things are. You have to find that balance. You have to stay even keel the entire way. That's something the Packers have been able to do. And now, going into this bye week, trying to carry that on.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got plenty more to talk about as the week goes along, as the Packers go through the bye week here in week four. But we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.